Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 83, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, hey, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Yeah,
it's
you.
Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. It's super producer Anna Hosnier's birthday, and we go into the club.
The club.
Okay. That is
live yours.
This is
that was transcribed.
First time writing for me, and I like her work.
Captured your voice.
My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Slay Radberry, aka Jules Verne, aka Bay R.R. Tolkien, aka Turnt Vonnegut. These are all from Crispy Meme Donut, who then completed that tweet with classic sci-fi authors. I don't know, man. But then Walter Chestnut jumped in and tweeted Philip K. Big Dick Energy, a.k.a. Stephen Culture King, a.k.a. J.K. Rowling on dubs, a.k.a. Arthur CBD Clark, a.k.a. H.G.H. Wells, a.k.a. Isaac Assai Move.
I was going to say Isaac Assington.
Yeah,
well, whatever.
Hey, so thanks to those guys for those AKAs, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Something wrong with Miles of Gray, we don't know what it is. Maybe he's not high.
Alright.
He's seeing things in a centrist way, and says that we should live in a world of compromise. He's voting Buttigieg. He's voting Buttigieg.
Okay, thank you for, again, Crispy Meme Donut, Christy Yamaguchi, man.
He's voting Buttigieg.
Basically the opposite of what that the original lyrics
Living
were.
On the edge
Living
is
on
not
the edge.
Buttigieg, the no. Buddhist center of the center.
Yeah.
But you know what? Thank you so much for that one. And also that video, I remember it had like a freaky green dude coming out of a storm pipe. I remember inexplicably was just like.
I don't even remember that.
I'm always paying attention to this.
Was it Steven Tyler?
I think it's just a guy in a green suit.
You just color Steven Tyler in green. He will look like right. some manner of like frog monster human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, his features are so exaggerated.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was great in The Shape of Water.
That lovely voice. That lovely, funny voice you hear is the hilarious and talented Brooke Van Poplin.
Hello. We're Van Poplin off.
Yeah.
Right
yes.
now?
Poplin off right
said?
Now.
Yep. Poplin and Lachlan.
Poplin.
Welcome.
Poplin and Lachlan.
Just talking about Holland, you know?
Uh-huh.
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
International
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah.
It's gezellig. That's why I like the word zeitgeist, you know, because oh. gezellig is like the, it's all good, man, you know?
Oh, that's what you say for it's all
gezellig?
Good?
Yeah, things are gezellig.
Oh.
Yes. Uh-huh. You know?
Very cool, very
And when
cool.
things are good, you say, oh, lecker.
Mm. Lecker,
yum,
yeah.
Yum, yum, yum.
Lecker?
Lecker.
L-E-K-K-E-R. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a food truck called Lecker.
Oh, right.
And I think in New York I saw, and I only knew that because someone was like, always said that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Anyway.
Yeah, that's where you get stroop waffles and cold fish.
Yeah.
Stroop.
Yum.
Or strope waffle. I think I was corrected on.
Strope?
Yeah.
You don't quote me. I'm like fake Dutch, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
Dutch American. Yeah. Do they look at you and they're like.
I get stopped usually in customs because they haven't heard my name in so long. So when I go through, they're like, oh, we don't hear this name because I think it was originally Van de Papel or something like that. And it got all
Ellis
bastardized.
Islanded.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So now it's Van Poplin. But we actually have Van Poplins in Amsterdam. I've been on a bender since Thursday, guys.
Wow.
So I was excited. You know, I was going to go to Maui for fun.
Okay.
But then I felt extreme guilt about doing it because I've been trying to get a job. And then a job opportunity came up and I was like, see, that's why I shouldn't go.
Yep.
And the job got canceled and I ate a ticket one way to Maui.
Oh,
and then so then I was like, fuck it, I'm getting drunk for 4 days.
Yeah.
And I just went on a vacation in my backyard.
Nice.
There we go.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
How'd the ground look down there? Pretty chill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then it rained on you a little bit.
It rained, yeah. Escaped to the desert for
just
a little
like
bit,
Maui.
Which was great. Yep, I know. I was like, oh, if I can't have Maui, I guess I'll sleep in a truck outside a Joshua tree. It was great.
Joshua tree is awesome.
No, it was beautiful. I went
to
Pappy and Harriet's for the first time.
Oh,
what's Pappy and Harriet's?
Great. Oh, the little saloon right
mm-hmm.
there
oh.
in Pioneertown?
Oh, nice.
Concert venue. I mean, you get like, oh, God, probably like 400 people showed up to see Lucius on Saturday, and then they've got a campground, so you just park in your truck or your car.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Just wander around this like desert compound and just fall asleep in your truck. It's beautiful.
Nice. Do you have like a pickup truck?
My boyfriend's got this rig, so he's got a pickup truck, and then he got a permanent camper attached to it.
Ooh.
It's called Habitat. So this thing is like, it hoists open, and then this huge like 8-foot bed flops open that hangs over the, so when you get in the bed of the truck, you can stand fully up. And then use the cab of the truck and then climb up onto this bed that juts out.
Oh, shit.
It's so fucking
Damn.
Great. I know.
They're called Murphy's beds, I think.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
it's the Murphy's bed of
portable
yeah.
Murphy's bed. That is the less glamorous way to think about it.
Murphy bed of a pickup truck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Brooke, we're going to get to know you even better in a moment. First, we're going to take our listeners through a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger getting jump kicked and barely noticing. and all that went down. We're going to talk about a deceased artiste who might be coming back and going on tour. We'll mm-hmm. explain how that's possible. We're going to talk about the super conservative Justin Amash, who has decided that he's going to be the first Republican to actually have a conscience. And we're going to talk about how that has made waves. We're going to talk about how the president feels about Fox covering Pete Buttigieg. We're going to talk about the EPA. We're going to talk about all sorts of things today. The relaunch of The Real World and, of course, that Game of Thrones finale. Am I right, guys?
Yeah. Boy.
Who isn't talking about it? But first, Brooke, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, so I was looking through this, and I didn't recall, but I looked up, thank God, because I went. I was like, wow, that's where I was the past 4 days.
Mm.
Through my search history, I was looking up the amount of personhood a corporation can get, because I was kind of going on a rant where I'm like, fetuses and corporations have more claim to personhood than women do,
right.
You know?
Wow.
And I was just like, it's really effed up. So obviously it's been a terrible week.
Right.
Did you find it any kind of satisfying definition of...
Well, I don't know, you know, I just was like, I'm right about this, you know, but I went back and I was like, clearly I was like on a rant. So I've been off Instagram. So I was like, so now I'm tweeting. So, you know,
yeah.
It's like when I give up one, then I usually go hard on the other. I can't really clean my act up there. But yeah, I was just like freaking out where I'm like, no, truly, like corporations being able to, you know, vote and have influence and being considered, you know, more claim to having actual fucking rights than a woman.
Yeah.
Right.
Disgusting.
Self-determination. Hell of a thing.
Yeah.
How's the Instagram vacay working out for you?
You know, it's been good. I think the thing I do is usually if I have to promote something real quick, I just kind of get it out there and then I log off and I just also delete it every time too. And it's just been good to not have that, like, I'm happier.
Yeah.
I guess is a good way to put it, because I don't know. I get so the roll and scroll in the morning, as I call it, when you're just like, come on. My therapist,
roll out of bed
or just roll over and, you know, just you're like, oh, I'm awake. What kind of garbage is happening?
Right.
And it's just not good for my mental health.
Yeah.
And I think anyone else's. I'm just not set up particularly
You ever do that
well.
Thing where you're like, all right, I'm going to scroll past three more images and I'm done.
Then I'm
and
done.
And then I go, I do, if I don't see a good one in 3, 2, 1, I'm done.
I'm
and then
done.
I go, well, hold on. Let me see if there's another one.
Yeah, right, right.
And then I'm what 5 minutes later, I'm like three. I'm like, no, this is fucking me up.
I'll fall down this like really, I'm like, oh, maybe this will be really funny for material. And then you get lost completely. And then I was just making fun of women, like to no one but myself, for like an hour under the hashtag brunch outfit. Cause I was like, this is a thing. And then I was just like staring at all these women who basically like hashtag brunch outfit, just a
what
casual.
What is a brunch outfit? Cash?
It's very influencer friendly. It's like
fake
all
cash.
These women. Yep.
Right.
It's like so done up, so much makeup. So,
right.
And you're just like, oh my God. And then I get really into women who are really bad with the Facetune, where they look like they just took a whole hand and smeared it across their image. And it's like, you don't have eyeballs.
Right.
Or like, you know, a
face
shape
is
anymore.
One dimensional.
And I think that's becoming a new version of like body dysmorphia, where people are
Absolutely.
Getting so effed up that they can't see how like they look 2D.
Yeah.
They like get so flat with the corrections. You're like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Some of these people are my friends.
And then enter like a feedback loop where you're then looking at other people who have like done it up better than it's. Yeah, it's.
Comparison
Guard.
Is
Fire.
The death of joy. And that is especially true on Instagram, where the thing you're comparing yourself to is not even accurate.
Yeah. He looks at a lot of like bodybuilding accounts.
I do. I'm
not true.
Like, what? A lot of. Yeah. So I was like, I just got to go off if I'm like just like. Ragging on women who clearly are struggling with self-image and why would I do that? I have my own issue. Like this is
like,
bad.
And it all happened because of this.
Right. Like, it's time to remove it.
What is something you think is overrated?
Considering my heart's beating out of my chest right now, cold brew.
Oh, okay.
I would definitely say some cold brew is a little overrated.
Yeah.
The nitro, which I tried, you know, version of it too. And I was just like, all right, with you know, the tank was like out of O2 or something. They're like, can you wait a little bit to get your coffee? We've got to change the O2 tank, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I just need to drink regular coffee.
Right.
This is... Fucking science,
right?
You
know?
I want coffee, not like a Mitsubishi Eclipse from Fast and Furious. Where they're like, oh, we got to throw another Nas tank on there,
right? You're like, how strong is this? They're like, we must keep it stable in a container, you know, a pressurized container. You're like, cool, that's probably good
Explode
for my colon.
And kill us all. So when you pour the nitro stuff, it like has those little bubbles, like it looks like Guinness.
Yep.
Yeah,
it tastes like Guinness, and I don't want that.
Right.
I just, you know,
I just want the caffeine.
Yeah,
Everyone's like, oh, it just really smooths out the coffee. And I'm like, it wasn't a problem that existed with coffee prior to this. So.
Yeah, they used to have creamer for that to smooth out
smooth
the coffee.
It out, yeah.
But, and is there anything else? Does it have added caffeine or it just smooths it out?
No, the caffeine is higher in cold brew.
Right.
In nitro, I mean.
Oh, I'm the wrong person to ask
what
the nitro is.
I think what happens is the nitro is, the nitro makes it smoother, whereas just a regular cold brew is, like, the whole process is it's soaking in the water. The longer the beans are in contact with water, the more caffeinated it becomes.
Right.
So people think espresso actually sends you over the edge, but actually espresso's lovely. It's concentrated, but the water only pushes through really briefly.
Right.
So then you can have it and not be so shaky, but when you're drinking this like jug of caffeinated. You know,
you drink a jug. That's also a problem.
The problem. Yeah. I know. I was like, oh, it's a little too early to be fighting shadow people.
Yeah, I noticed that when you entered the office, you actually just walked through the door. There's just a human-shaped hole in the door that I was pretty impressed. I was going
to
ask you, right? What is something you think is underrated?
Well, I think I might have to go on the flip side and say diner coffee.
Yeah.
You know, you just know what you're going to get. Like, I don't even put it in the category of all the coffee culture right now. It's like, no, it's when someone's like, oh, gross compared to, you're like, yeah, it doesn't care. Like, diner coffee is like.
It's the Taco Bell of coffee.
Right. You're like, no, it's in its own category. Yeah. It's a brown hot beverage that tastes good with pancakes or chili or 3 a.m. or whatever you're doing.
Moon over Miami.
Exactly. Yeah. And
gets you going. It's water.
It? You know, I don't even know.
Brown, shitty water that gets you going.
Oh, but I was.
And not really even.
Not really, because you can drink it before bed at like 2 a.m. And it's a beautiful thing. It's very ritualistic. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, see, I don't like hot drinks. So I never, that's why I like cold brew and like all the other stuff, because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, don't ask for a cold brew at a diner.
No.
You can have a short order cook, jam, and a fork through your eye.
Or they're just like ringing out the old, like other ones are like, oh yeah, what's that? Yeah, I'll get some for you.
Yeah, you want a cold brew? All
right. It's very un-Japanese of you to not drink cold or warm beverages.
I know. You see my mom, she's like, I think to this day contests whether or not I'm her child.
Yeah. Mm.
My mom conversely only drinks hot shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never drinks.
Exactly.
But one time she was like, I got her water and it was hot and I put ice in it and she's like, why?
Right.
And I'm like, because it's fucking hot.
Yeah, the water is supposed to be hot.
Or room temperature is the coldest shit gets. With her.
Yeah.
Everything else,
my mother-in-law only drinks hot water, steaming hot water.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. Like, my aunts do that, too. They just drink, like, boiling water.
Yeah.
Just straight up.
Yeah, because it's good for you.
It's good for you.
Is it?
But I think tepid, like a slightly warmed water versus boiling is, like, the more Ayurvedic or sort of, what's it called, like macrobiotic,
right?
Like when everything's like a certain temperature, it's easier to digest and break down. Water?
No,
right?
I was like, I didn't know water was hard to absorb.
No, my mom and her friends would just go up to like the big ass boiling water kettle or like dispenser and just be like, fill up a cup and just be like, sip on that. And I'm like, what did you put in there?
Right, hot water.
They just like the tea. I think it's the temperature.
Yeah,
that's why I can't drink tea, because it's that much hotter than coffee,
right?
Because it is literally just boiling water that you dunk a tea bag in, and I hate it. I
would
have
love
the patience.
I would love to hear from a Zeitgang like scientist or somebody who can tell us, because this is something that I've always heard from people mostly in Europe and Asia, or people from cultures that originated there, that say that warm and hot water is better for you, and that cold water can be bad for you if you drink it too cold. I think it's like a controversial thing, but I would love to hear the scientific backing.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I just hear is like with cold water, your stomach has to do more work to get that shit back to your body temperature.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
But even then, I'm still here, baby. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking Friday? Eat ice cubes.
Yeah.
My acupuncturist, so LA, but he's Chinese and his medicine that, you know, it's like Chinese practice and medicine. And every time he really tries to get me straightened out by being like, please just drink hot broths.
Right.
No spice. Please just drink. Like he literally tries to push all hot beverage on me. No spice, no fried anything. And I was like, do you know me? Like, no.
Right.
Like I only like to punish myself. And he's like, that's probably why you feel like garbage.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
We were having a lot of fun discussing restaurant urban myths, urban legends and myths on my podcast. And we were like, okay, so this is a myth. Maybe you guys think that when you send a dish back to the chef or the kitchen, you know, the myth like, oh, the cook spits on it. Or, you know, the waiters are messing with it.
Right. That's a fear at least operating in the back of people's minds.
Exactly. And we, like, really discussed that. And it's like, God, like, no, absolutely not. Especially if it's a really nice place. Like, if you're not happy with your food, it's like you almost go above and beyond to make this customer happy, send them out with, like, you know, like, feeling taken care of. Because now we're in this, like, culture of reviewing and all this stuff. So I feel like that's a very unfounded fear. And also it's like when your food gets fucked with, just know it's because you had it coming. It's not
innocent bystanders.
No, but I'm just saying like it's never a random hit. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one's in the restaurant industry being like, let's just spit on every fifth plate that goes out or something like that. You're like, no, 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 this is for Dale.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been messing with us. For, exactly. And just so know, like, if you're a nice customer, no one's messing with your food.
And be nice, expect nice.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I do always think, like, yo, I don't want to send it back.
Right.
Dude, it'll fart all over my fries.
Yeah. I tell myself that it's because of that, but really, I just don't like
confrontation. Yeah, I'm the same
I'm just
way.
Like, ah, it's good.
I'll eat around it.
The one thing that I do think happens when you send food back, or if there's any sort of unhappiness on the part of the eater in some like nice restaurants, is the chef like gets really pissed at the waiter sometimes because they're like, you're bringing out hot enough, or you didn't communicate correctly with them. And, like, you made them think they wanted this thing. You should have, like, gotten this other. I ate at a restaurant once in Paris, actually, where the, I was eating at a restaurant in Paris.
I forget which one. It was on the Champs-Élysées.
You could tell that all the waiters were, like, on edge. And we were kind of like, why are they so, like, they were like, you eating your food? You better finish that.
Oh, God. You're not,
and it was lunch. And we had ordered, like, this rabbit thing that, like, was very rich and the chef lost it on the waiters and like flipped out on them, and they just like kind of held it together and looked at their shoes.
Wow.
But yeah, pretty crazy.
As a server for 15 plus years, I can absolutely back you up on the fact that it's we take the brunt of the aggression.
Yeah,
it's
from both. Yeah, you're caught in the middle.
You're caught in the middle.
The chef will yell at you, and the customer will also.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. You go to work and get yelled at all day.
Over tip your waiters, guys.
Yep.
Let's talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger. This motherfucker is 71 years old. Sorry, I know. I'm great at transitions. But there was a shockingly violent moment caught on Snapchat where a young person just basically went fully horizontal and did a flying jump kick in Arnold Schwarzenegger's back while he was looking at the camera. And it looks really violent from the close-up facing him, but when you, like, see the wider shot of it, the guy kind of, like, bounces off of him.
No, I was going to say he, like, ricocheted off of Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger, like, moves a foot forward, and it just happens to be past the camera that's shooting the angle that most people saw.
Oh, so from that one, it looks like he really got pushed forward. Got you.
But he tweeted, he was like, I only realized I was kicked when I saw the video like all of you. I'm just glad the idiot didn't interrupt my Snapchat.
Ah, yeah, you idiot. I still win.
Yeah.
He really thought, I mean, I like that flex.
Yeah.
I thought it was the crowd.
I mean, he can't help but flex. He's always flexing.
Always be but flexing.
That would have Maybe killed it. Most 71-year-olds.
Oh, so, yeah.
I mean, he was there promoting fitness, and I think maybe this was a viral marketing stunt for fitness.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
I want to exercise now so that I can get jump kicked in the back.
Where was he?
He was in South Africa. Oh. South Africa.
Yeah, and I have to wonder, like, did they ask the motive of the
the
jump
so,
kicker? Okay.
I went to, as we were preparing for this, I went to Google and typed in, why did that? Because I was going to type, why did that guy kick Arnold Schwarzenegger? And I did, why did that space? And Google auto-completed, why did that guy kick Arnold? Why did that kid kick to Arnold? Why did that man kick Arnold? Why did that guy leave MacGyver for some reason? but this question was on everyone's mind. And it's either a case of like a prank or mental illness, because as the kid was being dragged away, he was shouting, help me, I need a Lamborghini, over and over again. So one way or another, it's not fully rational. And the police seem to think that this was premeditated. This person has a history of kind of running out and making a scene around famous people or when there are cameras present.
Got
so,
it.
It's nothing. There's no like deeper story there other than this person. I don't think Arnold is secretly like fathered this person or anything like that,
right,
which is always the question
like
with
the other
him.
Kids he has. Yeah.
Right. With it, yeah, exactly.
I did find out why the guy left MacGyver.
Why?
I guess he had a spat on set.
Why did the kid
leave
MacGyver?
Why he leaved in MacGyver? Because he had a salary dispute.
Yeah.
Dude, I wish you had. I was like the only. I've never seen anything so delightfully antisocial, though.
Right.
Like where I'm like, it really. There's so much commitment to doing like a flying drop kick situation. Like it's full on WWF shit.
Yes.
And I really think like the only thing more spectacular would have been like a roundhouse, like a flying roundhouse.
Yeah, connected. Well, that would have been a little bit more powerful, I think. So this is something that I learned from one of our writers back at Cracked, Sean Baby, who actually trains in MFA. Trains in MFA.
An MFA. Yes.
With a focus on the Dutch Masters.
Yes. Oh. But he said one of the big myths is that a flying jump kick is a good way to hurt somebody. And he was saying it's actually the most ineffective kick because you are giving up all your leverage.
And you're off the ground.
Yeah, you're off the ground. So the other person is on the ground. So you're running into them and have left the ground. So you're not pushing against anything. So it's actually... it's a very spectacular way to fall on the ground and get beaten up, is essentially.
But you
what
know,
it comes
part
down
of me,
to.
Like as a if I were a kid and I saw it, like if I was a teenager, I may have done something like this. Like looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger, be like, "Yo, you dare me to fucking drop kick him?"
Right.
Because in my mind, I'm like, "Yo, he could take it."
Right.
Fucking Arnold.
Yeah.
And I think that part of me is like, eh, and he could take it.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, I think everybody wins.
Right, whatever. Right. I had an uncle who was a Marine, and like you know, in the 80s, growing up, what like his favorite thing to prove how tough he was is like me and all the scrappy little neighborhood kids. Like he'd be like, "Get everyone to come over here." He'd be like, "Everyone, come at me!" And then basically we'd do like you know flying roundhouse, try and throw punches, and he'd you know like we all got like thrown and scattered, and like no one could take him down. But I mean like, yeah, that was fun. That's what you do in Michigan.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, awesome. Round up the kids.
Round up the kids.
Come at me.
Tell your friends to get over here. I'm going to take a punch from an 8-year-old.
No blades this time. No blades. Bats are cool.
Dude, but he's like the guy. He's like, he was that uncle who my parents were like, "What's Brooke doing with Matt?" And like, I was like, "Don't tell them that I taught you how to use nunchuck." And like, you know.
They're illegal in the state.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and we were just talking about how Arnold's body is a little strange looking. Producer Anna Hosnier was saying.
Fixated on it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, as someone who used to be a bodybuilder, I would like to speak from that point of view. When you are, all day is just gains. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, yep.
Gains all day.
And then, gains.
And then when you are bulking and, you know, you're eating... Your macros, okay, does that sound okay, cool.
So what meat.
I would do raw meat and get your macros, and you really bulk up, and when you can't keep up that lifestyle, that's when you're stuck with the body I have now, which is just a very weak, unnourished, formerly very healthy, and so it just, you know, I'm top heavy, you know, but that's because I used to be yoked.
And you can't put your arms to your side.
No,
you're just
and
winged
it's just
from your shoulder.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's just so like your body doesn't, you know, it's like losing 100 pounds, and so it's I've had a couple surgeries. You know, I don't want people to be like, "Did she used to be so muscular?" And so I've had a lot of work done for opposite reasons.
We've seen your magazine cover.
Thank you.
You know what?
Very impressive.
The Brooke Van Poppel in 1997 was
dude,
like.
I was an athlete though in high school, but God, Natron Means was the nickname one of my classmates used to give me, because like I know
Natron Means.
Yeah, remember that football player?
Yo, that is such an old reference.
Isn't that funny? Because like we played like tag when they would let the girls play flag football, and so it was like this whole like it was like an evening, and all the city comes out to watch the girls, like, you know, they call it like powder puff football, but I was really good.
Damn.
And I was like straight arming people, like I'm so many touchdowns, but I was a track runner and all this stuff, but I also didn't understand how much food you should eat, so I was like pasta party all night,
right,
you know, and I was big. I was really
like
athletic.
Ron Dane mixed with Natron Means.
Oh yeah. And
Ron
Dane. And to have like a guy football player nickname you Natron
Means.
You're like, cool.
He must have been in love with you.
You know what? I saw him at our high school 20-year anniversary and he's still in love with me.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Natron.
He was like, remember when? I'm like, yeah, you don't forget that when you're a teenage girl and you get, you know,
compared to this running back or fullback from the Chargers or whoever he was playing for at the time.
What an amazing name. I totally forgot.
I had not heard
didn't
that.
Didn't even realize that name existed.
I have not heard that name in 20 years. So I'm very grateful that jarred a part of my memory. And I think that's why it also woke up Ron Dane in my mind.
Yeah, Ron Dane. He was from Wisconsin, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Heisman winner, I believe.
I believe.
And also on the cover of one of the sports or the PlayStation and NCAA Game Day games.
Yeah,
that's how I remember.
You think
things.
You made
like, okay.
on that?
I was like, great.
Come on,
right.
So bad with sports, unless it's like late '80s, early '90s, like Pistons.
Great,
which is, you know.
Let's talk about Bill Laimbeer for a second.
He popped up somewhere on my Instagram feed yesterday, where someone was going in on Laimbeer and just like, never forget this amazing basketball player who wore a plastic face mask over.
Right.
Why did he do that? Because
he
was
got
getting
punched
in fights
in the face.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Had his face broken.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. I think maybe by Robert
like?
Parrish. I would imagine, I don't know. I'm not gonna presuppose anything about Bill Laimbeer. He, I think, is a WNBA coach, maybe.
Oh,
or was a WNBA coach, women's basketball, which more power to him.
We'll do a deep dive on him and Joe Dumars.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's
John
talk.
Spider Sally.
Oh, the spider.
Spider. The spider's such a creepy nickname to have. They call me the spider. What?
Like, you know, shifty and
spider
long.
Caught a that does enable you to call somebody and say spider caught a fly.
Spider,
like from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
the creepiest line. That is not what you want to hear somebody say as you're passing out at their feet.
No.
Anyways, let's talk about Justin Amash or Amash or however.
Amash.
Well, we're talking about Michigan.
Yeah. Monster
right?
Mash.
From Western Michigan, I believe. Very conservative district. Over the weekend, man, he was out here on his Twitter with some fighting words.
Because he just finished the Mueller report. He's been doing nothing but reading it. And just finally.
You know, when you read with your finger, it takes a while to get through all those pages. But he basically said, hey, I read the whole Mueller report. Have my staff chime in. We all looked at everything. And what I've realized is the president has Indeed committed impeachable offenses.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Huh.
I'm sorry. And this is a man who rode the Tea Party wave into Congress. Mm-hmm. So this is not some, you know, Obama Jr. right person, which the right was very quick to try and paint him as, like,
oh, yeah.
Kevin McCarthy went on. He's like, I mean, this guy votes with Nancy Pelosi more than he does with Trump. So, you know, it makes sense. But, you know, if you look at his record, he was voting over 90% of the time with Trump.
Hmm.
So this is just somebody who I don't know what happened, because up until now, everybody with an R in parentheses by their name has done pretty good to act like they can't read or don't know what obstruction is or what mm-hmm. the law is or what good or bad is or news or facts.
And I feel like he called that out, too, where he's just like, I'm like one of the only people in the GOP who's actually read the whole report.
Right.
Right.
You know, basically, you know, it's the way we all act, where it's like we react to a headline and then don't do the research. And then when you suddenly be like, you know, or like, oh, maybe I should look into this. And you're like, oh, I was wrong. And
right.
he's, you know.
Oh, yeah. I get all my takes from Twitter.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, the president had a response. And Miles, you do a better Trump.
Yes. I mean, you could only imagine, right, where the first, like, in office. There's clearly been a bunch of former politicians who have been on the right who have come out against Trump. But this is, you know, him in office, I think, you know, has him a little bit shook. Okay, because no one's done this. And he said, never a fan of Justin Amash, a total lightweight who opposes me and some of our great Republican ideas and policies just for the sake of getting his name out there through controversy. If he actually read the biased Mueller report composed by 18 angry Dems who hated Trump, he would see that it was nevertheless strong on no collusion and ultimately no obstruction anyway. How do you obstruct when there's no crime? And in fact, the crimes were committed by the other side. Justin is a loser who sadly plays right into our opponents.
Justin is a loser. I mean, that's all he needed to tweet.
It should have been just, like,
yeah.
Or at Justin Amash, haha, loser.
Right.
That would have been cool.
So Chris Coons, Democrat, thinks that there might be more Republicans who are out there who just aren't speaking up.
Yeah.
But who have read the Mueller report and therefore know what it says. Yeah. We have a clip of him talking.
Okay. Were you surprised to see a Republican, Justin Amash, saying that the president, I mean, saying so overtly that the president did engage in impeachable conduct?
I was surprised to see a Republican congressman saying publicly what I think many are thinking privately, which is those who have read the Mueller report cannot avoid the conclusion that the president and some of his absolutely core advisors engaged in profoundly disappointing, reprehensible conduct, conduct that would rise to the level of an obstruction of justice charge if he were anyone other than President of the United States.
But you don't think that Republicans are thinking that privately, do you?
Yes.
Ooh. What makes you say that?
Conversations.
So it's not so private?
There are very few who would be willing to say publicly that this conduct is reprehensible for a president.
But you have spoken to Republicans who have shared with you that they think that it's also impeachable.
There's a big difference between thinking that the Mueller report reveals conduct that is deeply disappointing, inappropriate, even borderline, or actually illegal, and saying they would vote to remove the president. I have not spoken to a single Republican senator who would vote to remove the president. Many privately expressed concerns about what was revealed in the Mueller report, in part because of the gap between what Attorney General Barr characterized as being in the Mueller report and what was actually in the Mueller report for those who've taken the time to read through it.
Boom. And I think he just took a big sip of tea right after that. But and that's the tea.
But I like the tea. Like, now, if you choose to not read it,
right,
then
right.
go on believing what you want to believe, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But once you do read it, you're going to have to make some sort of, I don't know, judgmental call.
Yeah,
on,
your brain might have to start working, start connecting the dots there.
Jeez, that is infuriating.
But that's what's funny is, I mean, because look, there's clearly enough votes in the House to move this impeachment mm-hmm. thing along. It's the Senate where
right.
clearly there's nobody Mm-mm. who's even close to the thinking of Justin Amash
right.
who would even entertain being like, I might vote for that.
Right.
But yeah, because everything's in their hands at that point once it moves out of the House. So, I mean,
is he going to be primaried and, like, did they immediately find
the fucking second that tweet, I think he hit tweet, there was like, and we have a primary candidate to go up against Justin
right.
Amash. I mean, who knows if he'll get taken down or
right.
not. I know on the news, they were in, like, Western Michigan asking people there, like, what do you think? And while they weren't quick to be like, Justin Amash is wrong, like, this one woman was sort of like, you know, I disagree. I think, you know, did the usual stuff. I think the president's great. He's helping people in the economy.
Right.
And was then sort of like, but, you know, if that's his opinion, I respect that. I just don't agree with it.
Right.
But it wasn't like the kind of thing where, like, on Twitter, you'd see people like, this guy's a fucking snake. That's what's kind of dangerous is, like, people who aren't going to outright, I guess, write Justin Amash off if you're a supporter of his. It would get you thinking a little bit. They'll be like, well, he just said, should I read it? But I don't, I'm not counting on it.
Michigan's, it's a really interesting place just to kind of take a temperature on where politics are. Mm-hmm. I think in this country, and my mom, actually, Kathleen Van Poplin, KVP, she was just featured in a weekend spread in the Detroit Free Press because my mom is a lifelong Republican who started voting Democrat at midterms. Mm. And we were canvassing for Alyssa Slotkin. She's a congresswoman who went unseated Mike Bishop, a 28-year-long like Republican-held seat, all this stuff. But people cannot get enough of my mother because she's that like really specific demographic of Republican women who don't like basically the slimy nature of the GOP, even though they may have felt more in line politically. They're just like, we can't really stay in line and step with this party. And so they're flipping, but it's complicated because then you know, I'm like, great, welcome, mom, you know, or whatever. Right. Like, and she's like, no, slow your roll. You know, you and your wild life and whatever. But
I'm not going to start eating kale, Brooke.
Right. No, I know. You know, like we end up having like really good, healthy conversations about, you know, access to abortion or whatever, which never used to be even just like a conversation. Wow. But so it's really interesting to watch. You know, everyone loves to hate on boomers, but I mean, those are my parents, and my parents are actually getting cooler and smarter every couple years that go by and have completely, I mean, this president I think has just done something to crack open so many people who maybe were okay just sticking with party lines. And then now they're asking themselves, like, can I, if I'm a quote unquote person with morals, also Christian or whatever, like, am I walking the walk and talking the talk if I stay in line with this person, you know? And so it's really interesting to just go and see the people of Michigan are like all over the place, but they have good reason to be.
Love it.
Yeah.
You know, just come on, everybody, start using our minds a little bit more.
Or talk to your parents.
Yeah.
What did anyone ever do to the people of Michigan? You know? Flynn has, I think, clean drinking water now.
Right? Yeah. Like, or getting there? On the way, but I mean, how many years too late?
Right.
And it's only incremental. But
hey, you can bathe in it at least, just not safely if you're a child. Yeah, I think Trump is like when you speak about generational things, I think there's a lot of ways where he's the like logical extension of a lot of things that generationally like happened with that generation, like sort of narcissism and dishonesty and stuff that I think there is an opportunity for that generation to be like, "Oh, okay," and like kind of do a self-correct on some of the more selfish aspects of
but there are also tight boomers out there, you know what I mean? If you're tight, go talk to your other boomers.
Well,
man.
That's just it. It's like we have to talk to boomer parents, and then they have to, you know, just get a shitload of wine and invite their boomer friends over and all get like Zinfandel drunk and then have like real conversations. But you know, I think just from being there, or excuse me, from being from the Midwest, it's like I do have that, like, I love living in my bubbles. Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy in my liberal bubbles. But when you're from the Midwest, you understand like a lot of different sides, and you and you want to demonize that everyone's an idiot, mouth breathing, like, and you're like, no, it's just a really different life in Michigan, you know? And but yeah, that's just it, is these boomers are talking to each other. And especially the appeal from woman to woman is the biggest deal that we can work on, is that age bracket. Because like, as my mom puts it, she's like, I just don't like him.
Right.
You know, like, he's just very rude. And that's not how I was raised to talk to people.
Right.
You know, and it's like, if you can just get mommed really hard by KVP, like, you can change minds.
Dude, KVP, get out there.
Right. She is.
The KVP tour. And the KVPs of our country.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Unite.
All right, speaking of things that are angering President Trump, he's not happy with Fox News' coverage of a Democratic presidential candidate by the name of Pete Buttigieg, who had his Fox town hall, and this was kind of the second Fox town hall with one of the Democratic candidates where it was like a highlight reel of dunks.
Yeah, like, and just like, let me dunk on you on your homecoming on your
right.
court.
Yeah, and so Trump was like, what the fuck is going on? And even a lot of people on Fox were wondering the same thing. Some of the people who are more in the, you know, state-run propaganda wing of the network were like, well, why is this happening?
Yeah, what, I mean,
Right.
Well, he had a good, I mean, our politics don't fully align, but I did enjoy him going to Fox's house and taking a dump on some of the people who are on that network on their own channel. And, you know, I think a lot of the audience was really receptive to what he was saying. But just listen to this moment where he has to talk about Tucker and Laura Ingraham.
The other thing we've got to do is we've got to find people where they are. You know, a lot of folks in my party were critical of me for even doing this with Fox News. And I've
heard that.
and I get where that's coming from, especially when you see what goes on with some of the opinion hosts on this network. I mean, when you got Tucker Carlson saying that immigrants make America dirty, when you've got Laura Ingraham comparing detention centers with children in cages to summer camps, summer camps, then there is a reason why anybody has to swallow hard and think twice before participating in this media ecosystem. But I also believe that even though some of those hosts are not always there in good faith, I think a lot of people tune into this network who do it in good faith. And there are a lot of Americans who my party can't blame if they are ignoring our message, because they will never hear it if we don't go on and talk about it. And so it's why, whether it's going into the viewership of Fox News or whether geographically it's going into places where Democrats haven't been seen much, I think we got to find people where they are, not change our values, but update our vocabulary so that we're truly connecting with Americans from coast to coast.
All right, Mayor.
Whoa.
Did we cut it off before all the boos came in? And
No. People ran out there and
tore him limb from limb. Oh, really?
Yeah.
People want so badly to be right about who they're against.
Right.
And it's, call it exposure therapy. You know what I'm saying? If you feel like you're not able to hang out with people you view as different from you, that you don't naturally cross paths, it's easier to stay in your little, like, online, you know, Facebook hate group sort of version of life. And, you know, I gotta say, I do have mixed feelings about candidates going on Fox News, but the way Pete handled that was, he said what people need to hear. There was something very healing about what he said. And I don't think people want to be in this huge fight. It's like the minute you see someone face to face, you're like, oh man, I'm sorry. Can everything be cool again?
Right.
You know, and him crossing over like that, because it fucks me up, because I was really excited about Elizabeth Warren being like, I am not putting money.
No,
because
sure.
I saw her point too, but then I was also like, but she will just continue to be mocked and hated when she has so many amazing points about being raised poor, like finishing her degree at a commuter college or whatever, and you're sort of like, shit, maybe that was a missed opportunity for her too.
Yeah, like, because you see the effect that her thing was sort of like, I don't want to help their ad revenue machine at all, because that's what it's going to be. And aside from obviously getting in front of that audience, I just don't, like she says, it's a hate-for-profit racket, which I think is very appropriate. And then at the same time, you also don't want her to get othered by having Fox dictate what the, like, what, how they're, you know, covering her or whatever, because it basically, you get a lot of clarity when you see this person in front of you on your channel, especially when you're not willing to go there. But who knows? I mean, as it heats up, you'd hope people would look at other candidates, but it is a very, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't kind of thing.
Right.
So how did Fox and Friends respond to, like, how did they cover something like that?
Oh my God. I mean, you remember when Bernie was on.
Right.
They were like, I don't know, that was weird.
Yeah.
This time they had another theory why these people were cheering and hooting, hollering for this man, not because maybe he said something they agreed with, but
paid actors.
Check this one out.
If you're going to go to the polls and vote for him, you've got to know where he stands on these issues. He's extremely progressive, wants to get rid of the Electoral College.
Right. In New Hampshire, which would diminish their effectiveness.
Correct.
But he also people clapped loudly when he said that.
Well, because they're all his friends. I think he's related to the whole audience.
Oh,
why even, like, that doesn't even make sense to say out loud.
Right.
I think he's related to the whole audience.
Right. They're all his friends. They're all, they all love him, probably.
But if he was just a little more articulate, I think what he was trying to say was, I have a feeling that was mostly his supporters that were in that audience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Rather, but it comes out as, he's related to all of them.
But
that's the only way I know how to say that.
I mean, the Fox and Friends and the bubble that they represent from a informational standpoint, Like, I think it's a good reflection that you just can't make sense of what you're watching.
Right,
that
yeah.
there are people that don't agree with you. And so they're just like, it must be a conspiracy of some sort.
Well, that's what Trump also said.
Yeah.
He then tweeted, hard to believe that Fox News is wasting airtime on Mayor Pete, as Chris Wallace likes to call him. Kind of is his name,
right?
Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
I was like, yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
His name and title. You know?
Fox is moving more and more to the losing wrong side in covering the Dems. They got dumped from the Democrats' boring debates, and they just want in. They forgot the people who got them there. Chris Wallace said, I actually think whether you like his opinions or not, that Mayor Pete has a lot of substance. Fascinating biography. Gee, he never speaks well of me. I like Mike Wallace better. And Alfred E. Newman will never be president.
Alfred E. Newman is his nickname. It's the Mad Magazine mascot.
Yes.
And his nickname for Pete Buttigieg.
Killer reference, yeah. Doggy.
So up to date and current.
You know, because kids love Spy versus Spy.
Right.
And folding up that back cover to make another image.
Do you think he knows that Alfred E. Newman is not a real person?
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to believe that he does think he's a real person.
Yeah.
Missed opportunities when the word butt is in his last name.
Yeah.
You know? And I was.
Oh, that'll happen. If
I made for Trump, it's I don't know, it feels a little broad.
Right.
Low hanging fruit for me.
Yeah.
I like Alfred E. Newman.
I'm sure he says that all the time.
Then Buttigieg comes back with a "What me worry" poster.
Really?
Wasn't that Alfred E. Newman's like?
Yeah,
thing?
That
yeah.
Was
that's what he should just weaponize that "What yeah. me worry" because he did off like they asked about you know this presidential campaign again messy. What about the tweets? Like, what do you think about all the nasty rhetoric? He goes, I don't care. And I was like, yeah, good answer.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, you know, I think I know the DNC's official stance is like we're not going to put any of our people like up there, but a lot of them after seeing these two are wanting more and more. I think Amy Klobuchar has one coming up.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with some Game of Thrones spoilers.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And so over the weekend, Game of Thrones aired its final episode. And Miles, you guys had a viewing party here.
Yep, kids only.
Kids only. Yeah, I was not around.
Well, you had other prior engagements.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing Go Fact Yourself.
Yes, very great. Very great moment.
Yes, yes.
For everyone involved. Yeah, we watched here, you know, we put it on the projection screen. Everyone got excited. We were like, you know, Sophie, the super producer, was taking bets, or not bets, but just kind of polling the audience of who we thought was going to die.
Yeah.
And we got one right.
Yeah.
Because only one person died.
Is that true? Yeah, I guess only one person died. I mean,
that we would have mentioned, or
right,
that was worth talking about.
You guys didn't guess the Lannister soldiers?
Yeah. No. Right. There was random innocent bystanders, but we all thought that was...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I noticed the results. It said Daenerys, all, Jon, 9 people predicted he was going to go. So, Brooke, are you a Thrones watcher?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
I mean, this is the whole season. I know. I was like, the whole season,
no one knows.
It true. This is the end of the world. It couldn't land it, you know?
All right, let's take it point by point, right? I guess the first, whoa, what the fuck was that moment? Jon Snow mercs Danny.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, actually, the first what the fuck was that moment was when they pulled up on Danny and you see her for the first time and the dragon wings come out behind her. Everyone was like, oh, that was so lame. Oh. Or like, that was like too on the nose.
Yeah, that had people split. I mean, whatever.
I thought it was fucking dope. Like, Edgar Montplaisir, Culture King, was like, yeah, that's something I would have written when I was 14. It made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, yeah, I would have written that too when I was 14, and I would have been
tight.
Right. It is tight as fuck.
Well, I
would have written Jurassic Park when I was 14.
I totally understand how people are like, ugh, they rolled their eyes at it. But also, it like just sort of as a composition image-wise, that was very interesting to see. But again, this shows you like I'm not invested at the level where I'm getting angry at how the shots are composed.
Because
completely disconnected myself emotionally from the show after the Battle of Winterfell. I keep saying that. Every motherfucker should have died there, and then we could have made the show interesting. Anyway, so yes, that was one moment. But I guess the other main flashpoint was when Jon stabs his aunt.
His love.
His beloved
his love
aunt.
His hot aunt.
Yes.
Right.
In her heart.
You know, we all have that fun aunt.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Like, kind of fun aunt who's like,
fun aunt who
let's
wants
sleep
to have
together.
Sex with you.
You got Uncle Mike who's like, come at me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his wife who's training Komodo dragons
to
use flamethrowers.
So, yeah, stabbed in the heart. And as Jamie Loftus pointed out to you, she didn't know that getting stabbed in the heart gave you a nosebleed
she
immediately.
She whispered to me, she goes, does that give you a nosebleed? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. No, if it's in your chest, your lungs will fill with blood and that's what will come out of your mouth.
I thought it was good. It was like, John reluctantly doing the right thing and, you know, being tortured over it, which seemed to be in keeping with his character. I was very happy that he then didn't, like, go on to take the throne because that was my main concern, is that I thought they were going to do that because he was, like, pitched kind of as the prince who was promised. And he was just so whack all season and so, like, indecisive. And this episode seemed to make it, like, seemed to acknowledge that was, like, part of his character flaw, was, like, he didn't want the throne, and there, you don't get the throne.
Right, you're just a cog in the narrative machine that keeps it moving.
Yeah, you were a cog, you were, you know, enough of a fuckboy to get that close to the queen, and you did your part.
And pulled a sucker move.
Yeah, pulled a sucker move, but a sucker move that was what was needed for the ultimate fate that the Three-Eyed Raven wanted to see go down. So I was good with it. I liked the dragon. I thought the dragon should have just, you know, disintegrated
him. He should have vaporized his ass
That would have been dope.
But, I mean, see, the reasons I didn't like it, and I did not like it, wasn't because of what was happening. It's just because everything was so fucking rushed.
Yeah.
Like, if there were another season involved, and, like, that was ultimately how the show ended, and they would actually, you know, this show was a very, like, it's a slow roasting piece of meat.
Yes.
You know, that was... with every turn, got a little bit more flavor. And it wasn't instant gratification, which I think that was the tempo of the show. But once Benioff and Weiss took over, we like got this like hyper accelerated version of the story. And a lot, that's when people started being like, yo, what? Everything's starting to feel rushed. And I think a lot of the issues people had were as a result of that. For me, the fucking Samwell bringing the book out, like,
right.
So I rolled my eyes so hard, I nearly looked like I was warging.
Yeah.
Some shit. Bran being, I'm like, whatever, that's fine. I get that. I think that's a good ending because I didn't really think Dany or Jon should have been sitting right on that throne. I think everything was sort of being shown to us that that was going to be the case.
And the thing they claimed that they wanted, which was for the wheel to be broken and for, you know, this cycle of just people killing each other and warring. Like, this was the only real clear shot for that to come to an end. So I thought, like, theoretically it made sense.
I mean, did they break the wheel? The new king's in a wheelchair.
Hello. I mean, that's good. That's good politics. You should take that on the road in Westeros.
Absolutely. Yeah. Talking about low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. Right. But, my God. It just was a fucking... The whole season was a big, long, slow fart. And I'm just glad it's over.
All right. I liked it. So I'll talk about why I liked it.
Fine. I'll not tell you. Allow me a counterpoint.
Okay. So the second half, the take that I liked was Patton Oswalt tweeted something to the effect of bad TV, good governance. So I thought the second half was not necessarily great TV. I mean, all series finales, you're going to have like the montage where it's like, and then they go on to sail the seas and, you know, like some overly kind of optimistic version of their future. I still like the part where they're ruling, where Tyrion gets like is sitting there and worrying about shit as stupid as like what the seats look like before the meeting. Like, that is, I don't know. I thought it was actually like a good sign of how the world operates now. Like, if you think about it, as we just watched them live through Westeros's Dark Ages. And the Dark Ages are obviously good TV because dark shit is entertaining and it shows us a part of humanity that's always there in us but lives under the surface in a properly functioning society. But now they're out of that because Bran knows what he's doing since he knows everything and can warg into every animal. Could be a weird surveillance state thing there, but we won't worry about that. And like, I get that it was disappointing from a dramatic perspective, but I actually think this should be the Democrats' platform for 2020. Bad TV, good governance. Because, like, we've lived through a period in our history where it's great TV because we have the naked, stupid ambition of a president who is weaponizing hate. And he doesn't try to hide it at all. And he's trying to torture everyone and feed Democrats their own dicks. And it's good TV, but the only truly happy ending is for society to sit down and decide they're tired of good TV and ready for the world to turn back into C-SPAN for a while.
Well, I think that could work. But I think if we're comparing where we are right now to Game of Thrones, I think we're in season 3.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we ain't this.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying we're there. I'm just saying it's a hopeful ending to. But I haven't heard a version, an ending people wanted that wasn't like, oh, they should have killed this motherfucker and killed that motherfucker and that motherfucker died.
But see, that's what they did to us as a show, right? They created this bloodlust in everybody.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And to the point where I was like, motherfuckers better die.
Right.
They better die. And I don't know why. It's not necessarily that certain times it was servicing the narrative in any way, but it was like this expectation of like, yeah, people are going to get theirs.
Hell yeah. Because like, I'm a fantasy nerd, you know? Yeah. Like, I was like, you know, Fellowship of the Rings and The Hobbit all the way, you know? And then to watch this and then get so acclimated to barbaric deaths times that like, I feel like the ending kind of had that like lovely little like flute music, Fellowship of the Ring, sort of thing. But then
and
I
she
was
does
like,
go off in a boat.
Exactly. I also kind of just wanted that the dragon to drop Daenerys into the ocean. I don't know why. I just like splash.
Right.
There you go.
Like, whoops.
Dad.
Okay. Another thing in that episode, which is unforgivable. See, there were a lot of things that were unforgivable. I understand if maybe just as a whole thing, you're saying, fine, I'm good with the episode. But how are they just going to jump cut, basically, fast forward to being like, okay, my man's just killed Daenerys, and then we get bearded Tyrion coming out, and we're like, oh, some time lapsed. Like, that would have been a scene I really would have wanted to see, at the very least, of how he was going to navigate explaining how this happened.
I thought, there was some shit that they yada-yadded over that I thought was unforgivable. That, because I was, like, kind of out on Jon Snow by that point, like, I feel like it just would have been him, like, walking out with his, like, you know, just got done crying eyes and being right. Like, I stabbed the queen in the heart, and then, like, having to, you know, get thrown in jail, and I just feel like it would have been dead. Like,
but there would have been a moment, I feel like, if Greyjoy was trying to kill him or something, you would have seen other people pull up for Jon Snow. You would have seen, so there, people would have picked sides. And I want to see that, because suddenly this man's in prison with his nice beard.
Yeah.
And we don't know what happened. And like, and then Tyrion is just sort of summing it all up with his speech when you could have shown all of that. But again, this is a function of them not having enough time to do any of this shit.
No, like this was like when I turn in a first draft of a pilot and they're like, stop with the montages. You need to, you know, like, cause you're like, oh, I gotta get 35 pages.
Like, how do I do 35 years of history?
End it. Right, exactly.
Too much exposition.
So much exposition.
But yeah, and then also, so there was that. I mean,
just real quick.
All right.
On that scene that was the centerpiece.
Yes.
Why do we think Drogon did what he did? Did he know that blind ambition had killed his queen?
Right.
Yes, or did he just see that she had been stabbed and see a chair made of stabby things and be like, chair.
Drogon's wise. A study of geopolitics and the thirst for empire.
I liked that, man. I liked that Drogon ended up being like, I don't know. I liked the way Drogon went out.
He's like, this damn family. Yeah. This like chair has caused so many troubles for the Targaryens.
Yeah, that's basically what if he had a line, he would have said.
Yeah.
This damn Game of Thrones. And then would have melted it down. But again, you know, he flew off, whatever. Everyone just basically was like, and then they were never seen again.
Right.
It was so like,
Arya just sailed her boat off the edge of the earth because it's flat.
That's why I wanted him to drop her in the ocean, because I was like, why the fuck not? They just are like kerplunking everything. They threw in the towel.
What do you think
so
is
hard.
West of Wester of the where the map's in?
No, man, nobody knows. That's why it's
the Resteros.
It's hedonism too.
The
Resteros in Jamaica.
World of Rose.
Somebody tweeted, I'll find out who they were like, what if she discovered America? That would have been
dude, please. Fuck it. Anything. I mean, I was so cynical that when Tyrion was like trying to decide who was gonna be the king, and he's like, but what unites people?
Right.
Stories. I thought he was gonna break the fourth wall, look directly in the camera, and be like, HBO, have we not provided you with stories? Right. I was like, okay, this feels right.
At
this point.
And an upcoming slate of wonderful, engaging TV shows that will replace your Sunday night
The
view.
Watchmen.
Yeah. We've got Meryl Streep. And she pops her head up behind one of the, like, and you're like, hi. And then goes back. It's like, can you believe this concentration of talent?
Yes.
Anyway, I believe Bran should be the king.
Yeah, the West, or the speaking of Westeros, the West World teaser for season 3 got me hyped.
I gotta watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, the things that I was mad they yada yada past was Jon being like, there's still a Night's Watch?
And then being like for what?
And then being like, yep, okay. Moving forward.
Hey, your punishment is to go work, like, basically man a radar station in Alaska. Like, what's the threat at this point?
Yeah. I mean, I guess he gets to live like a wildling, which is what he's always been at heart. And then I still am pissed that we never found out how Arya got right up behind the Night King.
But some people, whenever I express that, they're like, well, she knows that's her whole, like, that's her vibe. She knows that area so well, or whatever.
It just
would
have been tight if they like told us. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would have been easy to explain. Like, these are clever people. Like, they could have written a clever like way that she got up behind them or something. Anyways, my real question that they yada yada passed. I think the one inexcusable thing that they included, yes, was it's called the ice game of ice and
fire and ice.
Fire and ice. That was whack.
Dentine.
But how did Sansa know Bran's dick doesn't work? Because paraplegics, that's not always the case for paraplegics.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm glad you flagged this as a thing. How does Sansa know?
Right.
Was she asking him? Where's that scene?
Yeah.
Where's that scene where there's a...
Because I can't imagine her, like, them having, like, gossip, like, you know, just over lunch being like, so...
Like, are you dating? Work?
Yeah. Like,
are you Brand dating, being Brand? Like,
no.
What do you think of Sandy? She's cute, right, Brand?
Right.
I don't know. What's wrong? Was your dick not work or something? Like, oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry, Brand. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I mean, look, the Nights, I guess the Night's Watch is just like the Minutemen, like Border Patrol type dudes who are just like fighting an enemy that doesn't exist.
Right.
But I guess they've created a new immigrant population north of the wall. So then when Brand's in the seat of power, he can point to this obscure enemy that the people can't see to justify his own oppression of his own people.
I mean,
or something like that.
Like, Brand knew she was going to burn the city down. So anything we're mad at other characters for having done, Brand knew that was going to happen so that he could eventually get into power and so he could be a good king. So, I mean, that's a, I don't know, that's kind of a mind fuck when you think about it. But I'm good with.
But then there's also things like, yeah, there's so many things. It's like, why did we have to know, like, if he was the true king? I mean, I get that that was a device to help Daenerys' arc a little bit. But there are so many.
Who, Jon Snow?
Yeah, yeah. Or the, like, finding out who he actually is, that he's Aegon or whatever.
Right.
But there were other, like, just things that when you look at the show and, like, what they were building up to, we were meant to think there were so many other things that were important. Like Arya only changed faces one time. I thought she was going to be the woman with 1,000 faces.
You don't know. That might have been how she got up behind the Night King.
I don't know. This is not the Mueller report.
Exactly.
Where I still don't know. Right. But I can look at this and say, well, they did not show me that because it's a show where they have to show me.
Do you think the shot behind Dany when the dragon like flies off, do you think that was Arya in a dragon mask? And then that's how she got up right next to Jon Snow inside there?
Oh, wow.
Do we think?
Sure.
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works.
That's fucking
but,
stupid.
Yeah. she turned into this dog.
I thought Emilia Clarke, who played Daenerys, was incredible in like the whole show and really good in this episode. And there was some great stuff on social media, or I guess in the New Yorker. I guess the New Yorker's social media now. That she's worried that Beyonce is not going to be a fan of Dany's heel turn.
Yeah. She was really sweating it. Apparently, she was at an Oscars after party that was being hosted by Beyonce and Jay-Z. And she fucking, apparently Beyonce pulled up to her at this party to talk to her. And this is from Emilia Clarke. She said, quote, "I see this vision, this angel, this incredible woman float towards me. And Beyonce says to me, 'Oh my goodness, it's so wonderful to meet you. I think you're brilliant. I just couldn't handle it. I was on the verge of tears. I could see myself reflected in her eyes. I could see her go, oh no, I misjudged this. This girl is crazy, and I'm not going to have a real conversation with another celebrity. I'm having a conversation with a crazed fan who's looking at me like a rabbit in the headlights,' which is exactly what I was. I said, 'I've seen you live in concert, and I think you're amazing and wonderful and wonderful.' And she said, 'And the whole time, all I wanted to scream was, please, please still like me, even though my character turns into a mass-killing dictator. Please still think that I'm representing women in a really fabulous way.'" So, yeah, I get it, Emilia. We were all... We
she
all
showed it. The complexities.
Of power.
Yeah, and what it does to all women.
And what happens when you have a bunch of dudes writing it and directing it.
Right.
So.
Right.
Or
the rightful heir to the throne, you know, he's like, if I can't have it, neither of us can have it. Just ruining everything for the ladies. It was an emotional commitment to get through it. It's just the best way to put it. It's just like, I have to do it because I came this far, but it wasn't as fun as the other seasons.
You know, I think that's probably fair.
I mean, there were like the Battle of Winterfell was fun because that was like a full
that was
on,
dope.
You
yeah,
know,
that was
that's like a Helm's Deep type episode.
Right. More people should have died.
Clegane Bowl was dope. And then, you know, whatever, everything else.
I thought Dany's death scene and the dragon coming in was dope. I will remember that, I think. But
would you get it tatted?
Probably.
The dragon one?
Yeah, just like across my back.
No, your throat.
Yeah. Throat?
Just right here on your
neck tat.
Yeah. Ooh.
I don't know. It might clash with my other neck tat.
Your Frankenstein bolts?
Yeah.
And that Monster Energy logo.
Yeah.
I love picturing you with a fucking gnarly Monster Energy logo on your neck. Zyke Gang, please Photoshop that.
Please, please. Well, Brooke, it has been a pleasure having you, as always.
Sorry to end on a downer Game of Thrones note, you know?
No, I mean...
It is what it is. We're free now.
Yeah.
We're done.
We are free. We'll talk later this week about stuff we're fucking with, that we're paying attention to now culturally that we have
freed
ourselves.
A lot of short
ourselves.
YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's right. Brooke, where can people find you?
On Instagram at BrookeVP, and Twitter is BVP Comedy.
BVP Comedy.
Deal.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, you know, of course, everything is just flooded today with Game of Thrones, you know, hot takes. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed my friend Julian Villard. It's just great. It's a photo of a toilet foiled up to be a throne, you know, the Iron Throne. And maybe I'll send it to you guys. But basically, just like he said to flush it for the season finale. Oh. He's like, hot take, flush it.
Flush it.
Burp, burp.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
What's a tweet?
Tweet I like is from at Cinderella. And it's just a fucking thread. The tweet is just called, "This is a nice thread for Game of Thrones," called, quote, "What was the fucking point?" Right. And it just runs down all these moments in the show that just asking, what was the fucking point of that then? Over and over. And for fans of the show, like, yeah, it was bringing up things, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. They were really acting like that was going to mean something.
Right.
But anyway.
Wait, I found a tweet. It's from Miles of Gray. And he said, who got tips for a Netherlands trip? And then we saw each other in person.
And there you were.
And then I was like, I have tips for a Netherlands trip.
The magic of Twitter.
Right.
The magic of Twitter. And it ends up being a person right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That is
the lesson there is just talk to people.
All right, I'm going to shout out a bunch of Game of Thrones tweets I liked. Abdul at Advil was the one who treated bro. What if Arya discovers America? Rudy Mustang tweeted me, fuck, marry, kill. Your aunt, Jon Snow, yes to all three.
Oh my God, wow, yeah.
Kim Congdon tweeted my favorite of the Brienne of Tarth memes where she's sitting down to write. She tweeted, quote, he said Brienne of Tarth had the bombest pussy. All right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on Miles Will Second Media.
Oh, this is an artist from West London, named Mink, M-I-I-N-K, and the title is Scorched Moth. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of eerie track, and I feel like, they were just giving me Game of Thrones vibes in my mind. Not that the lyrics have anything to do with anything, but, you know, it's kind of my mood, my head state right now.
Whoa, West Eros means West love.
Whoa.
Think about that.
Hell yeah.
Well, like, guys, think about it, though. That's fucking crazy.
How else should... Okay. I've thought about it now.
Like...
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
Yo!
Now you
West
see.
Love.
Yeah,
West love. The roots.
Exactly. The roots of our problem was the wheel.
Was the wheel.
The wheel got broken by the guy in the wheelchair.
Chair. Silver chair. Great band.
Sunny and chair.
All right.
Sun. Okay. Well,
bye-bye.
That's going to do it for us. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever the hell you listen to your favorite shows. We are going to ride out on that song, and we will be back with more podcasts tomorrow. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring
the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.